And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. I want to thank the Law Group here in Wilmington for their support of the program this morning. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. We'll have more from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. We kick off what has been an interesting, we'll call it about 12 hours or so here in the United States, as details came out last night that President Donald Trump was leaving the G7 summit, which was taking place just outside of Calgary in Canada. This is the Western half of Canada. It was going set to be leaving that early. He met with leaders from across the world last night, had dinner with them, jumped back on Air Force One, and was not staying through the remainder of the G7 summit, which was supposed to continue, and I guess is continuing without the president there, but is continuing throughout the day today. He did land back in the United States, Joint Base Andrews, just after 5 o'clock this morning, like 5:02, 5:03 this morning. He has officially landed back in the United States. And the reason I say that things have been so interesting over the last 12 hours or so relates to not only the fact that the president said that he was going to be leaving the G7 summit, but also some of the commentary that was out yesterday on social media, the president posting this on his Truth Social platform, quote, "Iran should have signed the deal. I told them to sign. What a shame and what a waste of human life. Simply stated, Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. I said it over and over again. Everyone should immediately evacuate Tehran." That is, of course, the capital in Iran. And with that post on social media last night, the thought that was permeating through the internet, which I'm going to stop for a second and just talk about. It is so interesting, the age that we live in right now in terms of media, specifically, of course, social media. And when this post went out yesterday afternoon, yesterday evening, once Donald Trump, it was confirmed that he'd be leaving the G7 summit, immediately the reaction on social media, and I don't think it was an unfair reaction, but the immediate reaction on social media is that the United States is intervening in this war. They are stepping into the war. They are going to join Israel and start taking offensive measures against Iran. That was the immediate reaction, which, yeah, when you've got the president saying that you need to evacuate Tehran, you've got him leaving the G7 early. It's not an unbelievable, it's not an unrealistic thing to believe, but it is interesting how things promulgate and propagate through the internet. And to kind of bolster this point, Polymarket, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that website or not. I don't really know how it works. I'm going to be honest with you. I've seen the website. I've not used the website. I've been on it plenty of times, but it's like essentially a prediction website where you can go on and predict a variety of things. It's you're gambling, you're betting, but you're betting mostly on predictions. Will something happen? Will something not happen? And so Polymarket, which kind of it gives you an interesting trend as to where things are going. I want to show you the Polymarket graph from last night. The question on Polymarket that you could pay to be part of is U.S. military action against Iran before July. And you go to about 8 o'clock last night, and you see the highest number on this chart with 67.8%. That was the money flooding into the Polymarket. 67.8% chance of the United States getting involved offensively with Iran before July. It jumped up to 67.8, rounding up 68%. And the reason I talk about the internet being so interesting and the way that news flows being so interesting is because you look at that number and you say, wow, a 70% chance. Now, obviously, this is not scientific. Obviously, this is not an exact indicator of what's going to happen, but it gives you an idea of where the public stands. And you compare that to where the number was yesterday afternoon, even around 6 p.m., that number was hovering around 30%. So you had a 30 to almost 70 point percentage jump between yesterday at 5 p.m. and yesterday at 8 p.m. Now, once that the news of him leaving the G7 broke, once the post on True Social telling folks to evacuate Tehran broke, it caused that number to skyrocket. But as we look at it this morning, as we are tracking the numbers live, I'm going to just do a quick refresh of the page. I'm not sure if it updates live or not. You can see that number is currently now hovering under 50%. So from almost 70% to 50% overnight, and it really dipped in the overnight hours, going back to the upper to mid 30s, where it then went back up a little bit, but is now trending down. And so this is bringing forward the question that a lot of folks have on their minds this morning. Many individuals went to bed last night asking themselves this very question: should the United States get involved on the offensive front, getting actively involved in the war between Israel and Iran that has been unfolding for what now, the last 5 days or so? And my opinion on this is pretty consistent, and I stand by it. And the answer is no. I mean, I know there's a lot of war hawks. I saw Lindsey Graham on Sean Hannity last night. I had Fox and Friends on earlier this morning, and some guy on there talking about how, oh, it's time for the United States to get involved. The answer to me is still no. Is it a problem? Going back to the Truth Social post from President Trump, Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. I agree. And the argument that he's making and made it in a different Truth Social post was, you know, making America great again means that Iran does not have access to a nuclear weapon. I agree with that. I fully understand and agree with the concept that the world's largest state sponsor of terror, which, as we recapped last week, is in fact Iran, they should not have access to nuclear weapons. I don't know that anybody is going to, unless you're, of course, part of the Ayatollah, you're probably going to argue the opposite. Nobody believes that this country should have access to nuclear weapons. Nobody believes that they should have the centrifuge and the various forms of technology to refine uranium to the point where they can load it as a nuclear payload onto a ballistic missile and launch it somewhere throughout the region. I don't think a vast majority of people believe that that's a good approach. But at the same time, I also believe that it is not a good approach for the United States to get involved in this conflict. Israel has been obliterating portions of Iran over the last 5 days. Israel has almost complete and exclusive control over the airspace in Iran. There has not been a single Israeli plane, a single Israeli drone, or any sort of air support that has even been shot down by the Iranian military, by the Iranian guard. It just hasn't happened. The air superiority is completely locked down this morning by Israel and will remain this way as they continue to target strategic individuals within the country. We learned overnight that another high-up official within the Iranian guard was in fact killed by an Israeli airstrike last night. So that has been yet another successful attempt, as Israel has been very strategic in going after high-ups within the leadership in Iran. And that's where I think this needs to stay. I don't know why the United States would get involved on the actively involved in this, being going on the offensive with this whole thing. It doesn't make any sense. Do you want Iran to have nuclear weapons? No. But there's other ways around that without the United States having to be actively involved. And that's where my mindset is this morning, and I think where a lot of conservatives' mindsets are this morning. President Trump, and you've got to call a spade, has been very much against the Cheney and Bush concept of forever wars that go on in the Middle East, whether the U.S. is fighting them directly or whether it's some ridiculous sort of proxy war that's breaking out. The president has been strongly against those. He has made his stance and point very clear. Now, he, of course, could argue the fact that, well, this is a different situation. This is not going to be a forever war. But I don't think that the American people, both Republicans and Democrats, have the appetite for major U.S. involvement in the Middle East. And the reality of this is very simple. If the United States gets involved, which, by the way, there's no indication that that's happening, at least as of right now. The president is probably, and I'm keeping an eye on X this morning to stay up to date with updates from his meeting. Again, he landed back in the U.S. about 2 hours ago. There was rumors that the National Security Council was set to meet in the Situation Room with the president as soon as he got back. So that is probably happening right now, or at least soon, if not happening immediately as we're speaking this morning. There's just no appetite for this. If Israel has a problem with Iran, which they should, then let them take care of it. Now, is there chance from those high up in the Iranian Guard? Is there chance from ideologues throughout the country? You know, death to America, death to Israel? Absolutely. But the reality is there's not going to be any death to America from Iran. They are a country that is struggling majorly after the last 5 days. I saw a report last night that 2/3 of their military ballistic missiles, not even the missiles themselves, but the functionality of them being able to use those missiles, have already been destroyed by Israel. So now their supply is incredibly depleted. I saw a live report from Tel Aviv this morning. What was expected to be a major missile barrage from Iran in the daytime hours over in the Middle East this morning turned out to be about 15 or so missiles. It was expected to be 70, 75, 80, as it's been the last couple of days, but it didn't materialize because the reality is they are running out of time. They are running out of resources and they are running out of the ability to actually affect some sort of significant impact on Israel. Now, have there been drones that have gotten through the variety of missile defense systems? There's three of them that guard Israel. Yes. Have civilians been killed? Yes. But it has not been mass bloodshed as it could have been if these missile defense systems didn't work in the manner in which they are supposed to. Right? That has not happened yet. And so my question for you, watching us live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, if you're listening after the fact, commenting on our YouTube channel or sending an email or commenting on X, do you think the United States should get involved? I am hard-lined that the answer is no. I have a hard-line thought that it is not beneficial for the United States. It will not be beneficial for the president long-term to get involved in this conflict. Do you want Iran to have nuclear missiles? No, definitely not. Not going to argue that. Not going to argue that point at all. That's a serious problem. But it doesn't necessarily require U.S. involvement. And so this is, kind of being backed up. CBS News has a quote this morning. Senior U.S. officials speaking anonymously to CBS News yesterday said, quote, "The United States is not joining Israel's military offensive, despite reports that President Trump asked his National Security Council to the Situation Room upon his return to the White House. Cabinet members in the National Security Council have noted that they have already been on standby 24 hours a day for the last couple of days, including since Israel's strikes on Iran began last week." So that doesn't seem to be anything abnormal. Now, the president was, in fact, on Air Force One this morning, a little press gaggle. This was 1:35 a.m. In Washington, D.C., before he was setting to take off from Canada. He did make his way back to the press room in Air Force One. The audio is, of course, because it's coming from a plane, the audio is not amazing. But here are some of the comments from the president last night and into the early morning hours here on the East Coast.
Depends on what happens when I get back. What specifically is better than a ceasefire? What are you looking for here? And then real end, not a ceasefire, and then so something that will be permanent, giving up entirely. Is that okay too? Are you closer? Is that possible? Is that possible in like 24?
Why not? Certainly possible. Complete give up. That's possible.
Has the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and the Secretary of Defense drawn up plans for you if Iran were to attack U.S. bases or do any damage to U.S. bases?
ask you, because there's been some skepticism, is there any guarantee that if the U.S. did get involved militarily, that a U.S. bomb could destroy Iran's nuclear program and facilities?
Everything or anything in life, you know that. Look at you, right? There's no guarantee. But you're saying a guarantee on what?
Do you think if the U.S. got involved militarily, it would actually wipe out Iran's nuclear program? Or where's your assessment of that?
I hope their program's going to be wiped out long before that.
And so the question there, and that's kind of the key point of this back and forth exchange. I know the audio is a little hard to understand because of all of the background noise is they're sitting on an airplane and the engines are fired up and everything. The question was, you know, there's been the discussion that the United States would go in with one of their bunker buster bombs, drop it because one of the main Iranian nuclear facilities is buried underground. Of course, they're trying to be strategic and make sure that it's not easily accessible to air attacks like you've seen from Israel over the last couple of days. And the president's comments, I think, were pretty clear. Hopefully that's done. That will be done long before, seemingly indicating that the United States is not going to get involved. And I hope he stands by that. Because, I mean, this agenda of America first, and I know that Iran poses a threat. I'm not going to argue that point at all. But this idea that the United States actively gets involved in this situation is just not America first. It's not. And I would argue, you know, President Trump ran multiple campaigns on talking about forever wars and not having the United States involved in every single freaking international conflict that goes on. And so he is going to have a hard time with his base. He is going to have a hard time with his supporters actively getting involved in this situation. I genuinely believe that he is going to face some significant battles politically if he decides to get involved. And so, you know, he talks about and continues to mention that Iran cannot be allowed to have nuclear weapons. I agree. I'm in full agreement of that. And so our strongest ally in the Middle East, Israel, that we fund at the tune of billions of dollars a year, if not trillions of dollars a year, should be able to handle the situation, right? I mean, it's the reason we give them so much money, hopefully. If they're incapable of dealing with this themselves, then why the hell are we funding them? Why are they the largest recipient of U.S. aid? If they're incapable of dealing with a foreign enemy right on their doorstep. Right, literally just what, one or two countries over from them? If they can't deal with that, then maybe the United States needs to go back to the drawing board and decide, why are we funding Israel at the tune of hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars a year? I think that's a fair question to ask. This situation needs to be dealt with in the region. This is something that we've got strategic partners throughout the Middle East, whether it's Israel or the UAE, or Saudi Arabia. We've got strategic partners in the region. Why don't they get involved before the United States? Right, to me, this is no different than the discussion over Israel and Ukraine. Now, the stakes, of course, are a little bit different. But before the United States continues its involvement, which is what the previous administration wanted to do, just funnel money forever to Ukraine, what about the rest of Europe? What about the rest of the other allies and strategic partners? We always hear from the left about how important our allies are, our allies this, our allies that. Well, then let the allies deal with it. Almost every single one of these countries receives large amounts of military aid from the United States. Let them deal with it. I'm as clear as I can be on this. I do not want the United States involved in this conflict. If they want to, and what we've been doing is we've had our jets over Israel shooting down rockets, that's fine. That's solely defensive over an ally. No problem with that at all. But the second that the United States decides that we're going to go and start dropping bunker busters on portions of Tehran and going after nuclear facilities, I'm going to have to break with the president. I am not in agreement that that is a good solution and a good path forward for the United States of America. It's just not. I strongly am against that. And so that's kind of the latest that we're tracking this morning. I was hopeful that I'd have a lot more to bring to you. Again, over the last 12 hours, things have been rather I don't even know what word you'd use, contentious. There's been a lot of questions being asked over the last 12 hours with President Trump leaving the G7 and some of his commentary on Truth Social about the ongoing situation. But that's really all we're learning this morning. I would imagine that a meeting with the National Security Council is either happening right now or happening soon. And you can imagine that now that the president is back in Washington, D.C., is back in the Situation Room, will be back in the White House, that we will hear more maybe from him, if not him, some of his surrogates, whether that be the press secretary or other folks. And to kind of bolster this point, Pete Hegseth was on with Jesse Waters last night on Fox News. This was some of the back and forth between the Secretary of Defense and Jesse Waters about this exact situation. Does the United States get involved? Here's Pete Hegseth.
So you're going to be in the Situation Room pretty soon with the president. Is he still aiming for a nuclear deal with the Iranians?
Of course. The president's, as he said today, his position has not changed. What you're watching in real time is peace through strength and America first. Our job is to be strong. We are postured defensively in the region to be strong in pursuit of a peace deal. And we certainly hope that's what happens here. And America first means we're going to defend American personnel and American interests. So when you see jets and you see air defense assets and counter UAS assets, that's because my job as the Secretary of Defense is to ensure that our people are safe and that we're strong so that we can set the conditions for a deal. And President Trump's made it clear it's on the table. The question is whether Iran will take it.
And so those comments seem pretty clear from Pete Hegseth. Now, again, this is a very very fluid situation, right? No argument about that. Things literally can change by the minute as the situation continues to unfold. So it's not, what Hegseth said last night at 7 o'clock may not be valid at 7 o'clock this morning, but that seems to be the approach from this administration. And I think it's a strong one. You can guarantee that if there was another administration, whether it was another Democrat or Republican in the White House this morning, the United States would probably already be involved. The United States would probably be in a situation where we already had fighters and various military assets in the region conducting offensive strikes against Iran. That has not happened yet. It's been 5 days, very fluid situation. Could it happen? I think there's a possibility. I'd say it's probably close to a coin flip right now, maybe a little less, maybe 40%, but it's pretty close. It's very much a fluid, unknown situation at the current time. So I hope the president, I hope Pete Hegseth and some of the other voices in the room can continue to encourage him to not get involved in this situation, continue to provide the defense if it's needed to Israel, if that's what needs to be done. But I do not want the United States involved in this in any way, shape, or form, any more than we are right now. I think it's bad for America. It's bad for the America First agenda. And it's very bad for President Trump, who has been actively and adamantly against forever wars that seem to go on in the Middle East. Can the Iranian nuclear program be defeated without U.S. involvement? To me, the answer is yes. If Israel cares enough to get rid of it, then they should. And they have the ability to do so. So that's the latest. If anything breaks while we are on the air for the rest of the morning, we'll provide those details. We'll pass it along to you. But that is really the latest that we are tracking right now, right here. And keep an eye on social media throughout the show and provide any additional details. Before we turn over to a very interesting New Hanover County Board of Commissioners meeting yesterday morning, I do want to tell you about the law group here in Wilmington and thank them for their continued support of the show. When legal challenges arise, trust the law group. For over 20 years, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, maybe you're navigating a real estate transaction, or maybe you're in a position where you need strong criminal defense, the law group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved promptly. Great news, ladies and gentlemen. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. That's 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. I did use the Law Group coming up on 5 years ago in my real estate transaction when I purchased my home. Phenomenal experience, classic, grade A individuals over at the Law Group. Appreciate their support of the show. Reach out to them at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. A very interesting New Hanover County Board of Commissioners meeting yesterday morning. A bomb threat called in nearby, causing the meeting to be temporarily evacuated. We'll have all those details coming up here in just a few minutes as the Nick Craig Show rolls on live on a Tuesday morning, streaming on YouTube, Rumble and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget, you can listen online on demand 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. So yesterday, obviously on the show, we spent the program talking about the county budget, the 30.6 cent property tax budget that was passed last Thursday by the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners in a 3-2 party line vote. Commission Chair Bill Rivenbark, Vice Chair Leanne Pierce, and Commissioner Dane Scalise voting in favor of that 30.6 cent rate. Democrats Rob Zappel and Stephanie Walker voting against that budget at the meeting last Thursday. So obviously it was expecting some level of a conversation to be taking place. And it in fact did at the meeting yesterday morning downtown at the New Hanover County Historic Courthouse, with a lot of public speakers, many nonprofits coming to the podium and expressing their disdain for the Republicans on the commission for having the audacity to lower property tax rates for individuals within New Hanover County. And about halfway through the public comment period, right around 10 o'clock yesterday, this situation unfolded live at the courthouse and streaming online.
Interruption. We have a credible threat in the adjacent courthouse that is being sweeped at this time, and we are going to vacate the property. Am I, Sheriff, am I hearing that correctly? Yes, go ahead and take the floor, please.
Building out on the sidewalk, please. Hey, everybody, can everybody give me 1 second, please, and just maintain your seats?
So you had a credible threat being called into the courthouse, not the historic courthouse where the county commission was meeting, but the actual courthouse, which is, by the way, right next door to where the commissioners meet. So right around 10:30 or so, a little before 10:30, you had the meeting being evacuated due to that situation. It was about an hour or so later that the commissioners were able to reconvene the meeting. Here's Leanne Pierce reopening that meeting after about an hour after the building was cleared.
We will recontinue our meeting. And just for a recap for the public, we did have a bomb threat to the courthouse. We're not sure if it was this one or the one next door, but our Sheriff's Department has swept both buildings and have told us it is safe to re-enter the property. So we appreciate our law enforcement officers for quickly evacuating the building for our safety and for the safety of our citizens. So thank you for that. We appreciate it, your competence in this issue, and we will update later as we know more information. But
we did get an update being provided by local news and the New Hanover County Sheriff's Office that, in fact, a man has been arrested and charged in connection to that bomb threat yesterday morning. The threat and the call came in about 10:10 yesterday morning through a call to 911, according to the New Hanover County Sheriff's Office. An individual by the name of Benjamin Dion Patrick was arrested shortly after the bomb threat was made at his home. The sheriff's office released a statement saying, quote, "Sheriff's office deputies secured the scene and evacuated the New Hanover County Courthouse as well as the New Hanover County Historic Courthouse. The sheriff's office bomb squad unit conducted a full sweep of the courthouse and the adjacent historic courthouse. Patrick has been charged with making a false report concerning a destructive device, misuse of 911, making a false report to law enforcement, currently being held in the New Hanover County Detention Facility under no bond. According to a spokesperson with the county, the bomb threat referenced a building next to where the commissioners were meeting. And as you heard there from Commissioner Pierce, the threat was deemed credible, and people inside the New Hanover County Courthouse and where the county commissioners were meeting were in fact evacuated. New Hanover County Commissioner Dane Scalise saying, quote, "Thank you to the women and men of law enforcement for their decisive action to protect the public from this threat. Violence and threats of violence have no place in our society." So obviously a very dynamic situation unfolding. In all my time following and watching local government here across New Hanover County, I've seen meetings be called to recess due to crowds getting unruly, but absolutely a first when you've got a credible bomb threat being called in. Again, not to the county commission meeting itself, but to the New Hanover County Courthouse next door, putting that meeting temporarily on hold. So fortunately, everybody's safe. Everybody was able to get back into the room. The public comment period then did continue. And then after that, it was really the interesting part of the meeting that I was looking forward to as it related to commentary from some of the county commissioners as it relates to the budget that was passed last Thursday. We'll start with Commissioner Rob Zappel. We heard a lot from him yesterday and some of his various questions and concerns over this budget and how it was playing out. He took the floor once again at the county commission meeting yesterday and had this to say.
Something that should have happened at today's meeting that didn't. A full and open public discussion of next year's county budget. Now, traditionally, budgets are presented by the county manager at a scheduled Board of Commissioners meeting at the courthouse, at a meeting just like this. It's done that way because that's what good government looks like. It's open, it's transparent, and it embraces public input. But this year was different. There was a forced vote on the budget over my and Commissioner Walker's objections at the budget work session last Thursday. There was no public input. No one other than the commissioners and the county staff were allowed to speak. Why did that happen? Perhaps because they recognize that the budget they passed is unnecessarily cruel, backward-looking, and self-defeating. And they think that they can somehow hide that fact from public scrutiny. But they can't.
I'm going to pause Commissioner Zappel there because this concept, and we talked about this yesterday morning, but this concept, this idea that the budget was done secretly, that it was done in private, that it wasn't done in front of the public is just, again, not accurate. It's not true. And this was pointed out by Commissioner Dane Scalise during the meeting that took place yesterday. If you roll the clocks back to June the 2nd of this year, back just a couple of weeks ago, this was Rob Zappel during the June 2nd County Commission meeting after hearing public feedback on the budget for over an hour. Take a listen to this.
I know you started off the meeting with your statement about not wanting to vote. I think we've heard from the public now, and we've certainly heard from our staff, and I know there's been discussion internally for quite some time. I'm curious if you would accept a motion to move forward and vote on the budget so that we can
I mean, that was the point, is that this vote on June the 2nd, the same day that the county budget was brought to the public, the same time that the public had the opportunity to provide feedback on the budget, commissioners, including Rob Zappel and Stephanie Walker, wanted to vote on the budget at that meeting on June the 2nd. So this concept, this idea that the process has been rushed, this concept, this idea that the budget was hidden from the public and didn't allow public feedback and comment is frankly just inaccurate. This is an attempt, a political attempt by Rob Zappel to dissuade the public from the facts of the matter. And before I continue with some of the commentary from Rob Zappel, I'd like to play you commentary from Dane Scalise about this very issue. Here is Dane yesterday at the meeting.
I want to make several points, first beginning with the issue of alleged transparency or lack thereof. The facts are, after the proposed budget was presented by the county manager in May, we had a hearing at the beginning of this month, and that was the first available opportunity for the public to come and speak to us, and they did. Commissioner Zappel did not want to delay the vote at that time. He made a motion to move forward with the budget at the first available opportunity. And now that the budget that he intended to put together did not pass, he takes exception to the timeliness of this vote, when in fact Commissioner Zappel intended for the budget to be passed without meaningful input from the public at a first available meeting. It is disingenuous to say that we have rushed this process whenever you, sir, attempted to pass this budget at the first available opportunity.
Amen, Commissioner Scalise. And I love being able to provide the receipts and call out the hypocrisy when it exists. And it absolutely does. You can't, out of one side of your mouth, talk about how Dane, Leanne, and Bill rushed this budget through, rammed it through on the public, when you were willing to, more than 15 days ago, trying to vote on this budget. Literally, I was at the meeting where he made that motion. We played the clips. You heard the public feedback. You heard the public commentary at that meeting. Commissioner Zappel was ready to vote at that period of time. So this pearl clutching over this is not transparent, this process did not include public feedback, is frankly just complete and utter bullshit. There's no other way around it. It's complete and utter BS. It is a false attempt to try and gin up support from the public, gin up support from all of these nonprofits that get free county money day in and day out, that this budget wasn't done transparently. It's not true. And not only is it not true, we've got the evidence to back up that it's in fact not true. If Rob Zappel is so freaking concerned about transparency, if he is so freaking concerned about public input, then why the hell on June the 2nd of this year did he try and ram the budget through just minutes after the public comment period? If he was so concerned about listening to the public, if he was so concerned about the public feedback, why did he try and vote on this budget almost 15 days ago? I think that's a valid question to ask, is it not? And I appreciate Commissioner Dane Scalise for calling out the hypocrisy, because that's exactly what it is. So we'll go back to more of Rob's comments from the meeting, Commissioner Zappel's comments from the meeting yesterday morning.
Affordable and workforce housing and the Northside Food Co-op leave over 100 children in our county without access to pre-K, cut vendor contracts with crucial community partners like the Carousel Center for Child Advocacy, and eliminate and rescind over 100 county jobs across 17 departments.
It's not 100 jobs. It's not 100 jobs. We went over the details yesterday. When all is said and done, there's 30 vacant positions within the county. They're looking at cutting 72 jobs. We're going to be looking about 50 people will be losing their jobs. About 50. Now, that does not include any individuals that are retiring from the county and their jobs will not be refilled. That does not include anybody that will be leaving the county for whatever reason. They've got a better job offer elsewhere. They're moving out of the area. For whatever reason, they will no longer be an employee. So about 50 people will be losing their jobs, not 100. The facts of this are, I believe, rather important. If you're going to be sitting on the dais of a county commission meeting and attempting to stoke fear into the public, I would hope that you would use the accurate numbers. There's nothing that I have seen, none of the public information available, that 100 employees are going to lose their jobs. There's just no evidence to back that up.
This vote will harm children in our county, deepen our housing crisis, and abandon the most vulnerable in our community. Now, those are the facts that need to be discussed in public
forum. Are they the facts, though? Are they?
But they were not. To illustrate the deep frustration felt by the public, I have chosen two brief emails that were sent to the commissioners that speak directly to the damage that this rushed budget has already caused. Commissioners, your rushed action to adopt the new 2025-26 budget last Thursday.
And so before he gets into the emails and the commentary, again, rushed. This phrasing, this rushed budget. What was so rushed about it? Rob Zappa was ready to vote on it 15 days ago. So if it wasn't rushed on June 2nd, then how the hell was it rushed on June the 12th when it actually happened, 10 days after he was originally scheduled to vote for it, and tried to convince the chair of the county commission, Bill Rivenbark, that they in fact should vote for it? So was it also rushed on June 2nd? I would argue it was. You had your public comment period at the same meeting that you were ready to ram through the budget. So this framing is completely disingenuous. And Rob Zappel's a nice enough guy. I've always had a good relationship with him. He's a complete freaking hypocrite. There's no other way around it. He is a complete hypocrite if he is going to claim that what happened last Thursday was rushed when he was ready to vote on the budget 10 days before the meeting last Thursday.
Night has lacked consideration on the personal lives that it is affecting. This is how it has impacted our family. Our 27-year-old daughter applied for and was hired as a therapist for New Hanover County to serve at Winter Park Elementary School starting in July. During her interview process, she was concerned that it might be a fluid position. She asked questions, did her due diligence to make sure she was not taking a risk with job security. She was told that the position had been in place for years and had never been affected by budget cuts or adjustments. After much thought and consideration, she decided to move from her four-year position as a therapist at an adolescent psychiatric hospital, take a pay cut, and go to work for the county in a job that she felt she could stay with until retirement. On Friday, as she was leaving work on one of her last days, she received a phone call that her new position had just been cut and she no longer has a job. Of course, this has been devastating and hard to understand. As you move forward, please consider the real impacts on real people in real time that your decisions affect.
Now, let's stop that. Is the point that he's bringing up a valid one? Absolutely. Does this budget have real impacts on real people? Sure. Are there individuals that are going to be losing their employment through New Hanover County as a result of this budget? Absolutely. But let's not pretend ourselves. Let's not masquerade the fact or hide the fact that under the originally proposed budget of 36.6 cents or 38 cents, that it would not have had a real impact on the citizens of New Hanover County. Right? This is the false dichotomy that is being presented as it relates to this budget. If you increase taxes, if people's property taxes go up by hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a year, you are led to believe that that actually doesn't have an impact. You're led to believe that that doesn't actually affect residents of New Hanover County. It's a false dichotomy. Cutting and making changes affects people. Increasing government and increasing spending on the backs of the taxpayers also affects people as well. Is it a different effect? Absolutely. But it's still an effect. Regardless of whether the budget is increased or cut, it is still an effect. And by the way, the county budget wasn't cut. It is still an $11 million increase over what it was last year.
Not only has this caused her to lose faith in our county leaders, but the families of New Hanover County have lost the opportunity to benefit from her experience and caring. Second, commissioners, I've lived in North Carolina for over 26 years. Chowan, Durham, Chatham, and now New Hanover County. I am grateful for the beautiful, natural, and built environment that we all share and enjoy as neighbors in New Hanover County. Given the tremendous beauty that surrounds us, I'm surprised to admit that in New Hanover County, I pay the lowest property tax rate that I have paid in my time as a North Carolina resident.
Isn't that a good thing? You're going to compare us to Durham? Oh, I lived in Durham. This random resident writing into Rob Zappel. I used to live in Durham, and the taxes were a whole hell of a lot more expensive. That's not something to strive for. That's not something that you should wear on your shirt as a badge of honor. We should be applauded for continuing to make the county, an affordable place to live. If you look at many of our metropolitan areas, Charlotte, Raleigh, Durham, Asheville, Winston-Salem, the price of living there is incredibly expensive, in large part due to out of control scope and size of government that has a significant burden on the taxpayers, aka through your property taxes. Just because you paid more taxes in Durham doesn't mean that New Hanover County needs to follow suit. I don't want to be Durham. I don't want to be Chapel Hill. I don't want to be Wake County. I don't want to be Charlotte. There's a reason that people are moving out of those areas and moving to more remote rural areas of North Carolina. The crime is out of control and it's too damn expensive to live, plain and simple.
How can this be? And how long can this last? I apologize for not writing to you last week, but I will ask you to consider this week that there are people like me in New Hanover County whose benefit from our rising property values far exceeds our property tax burden.
You don't benefit from your property value rising. Unless you are planning on selling your house and moving elsewhere, you don't benefit from having a $1 million house on paper. There's no tangible benefit to that at all.
Like me, who cannot be comfortable getting rich off of our rising property values while our youngest neighbors go without an early start to education success and while our working neighbors go without affordable housing.
I have to stop this. I have to make this point once again. You have to be certifiably insane to justify to yourself that increasing property taxes makes housing more affordable. I don't know what the hell these people are smoking or drinking. There is no world where you can say increasing property taxes makes housing more affordable. Just because the county's going to piss away $3 million on so-called affordable or workforce housing, which is a sham, does not make housing more affordable. Does nobody wrap their head around this? Is this such a foreign concept that nobody can understand it? If you raise my property taxes by $700 a year, my house is therefore less affordable. If you increase my property taxes by $1,500 a year, therefore it is less affordable for me to live. Who the hell is continuing to make this argument? It is verifiably insane for somebody to believe that that's the case. There is no logic. There is no world where raising property taxes makes it more affordable. It just doesn't exist. It never has. It never will. It's a completely illogical stance to have.
I'm thinking about New Hanover County today, in 10 years, and in 50 years. What do we need to do today to make sure that we have the infrastructure, resources, relationships, and commitments in place for a flourishing community? I'm willing to help pay for it, and I bet others are too.
Then write a check if you're willing to pay for it.
Just two of the multiple.
I'm willing to pay for it. Okay. Then go write a $10,000 check to New Hanover County then. It's not my freaking problem. You have the money. You're privileged enough. You're in a position, according to this email, where you're willing to pay for it and you have the money to pay for it. Then go write a check to New Hanover County. Or to hell with that. Go write a $125,000 check to one of the nonprofits then. If you've got all this discretionary cash, if you've got all this extra money to just burn away, go write a check to somebody. But don't put the burden on me because your taxes are cheaper in Wilmington than they were in Durham. That's not my freaking problem. This is insane. People that believe that increasing property values and increasing the tax rate and the cost burden on residents of New Hanover County will make our area more affordable are insane. Plain and simple. There's no other word to describe them. So those are the two emails that Rob Zappel chose to pick. We'll now turn it back to Commissioner Dane Scalise, who had a very different set of emails, particularly for seniors in New Hanover County that are talking about how they can't truly afford more.
I also want to address the comments in this room today, as well as the comments that we've received via email. Even though I know that the people in this room may not believe me, I genuinely appreciate them. I understand that there are a variety of opinions in this community about any number of issues. There are 245,000 people in this community, and there are at least as many opinions on the proper role of government, what the government should fund during a budget. And it's important to recognize that though this budget has been characterized in extremely severe rhetoric, rhetorical terms, I should say, the reality is that what this budget did was increase the county's budget by $11 million versus $40 to $50 million. It still increased the budget. It increased the budget in order to provide more funding to the schools, the sheriff, senior resources, veterans, the district attorney's office, and it maintained any number of other core service items. I understand that we have disagreement on any number of issues. That's part of being in polite society. There are disagreements about what the correct policy is. And again, I thank the people in this room for providing their opinion. But I also want to share that while you have your opinion, there are other opinions in this community. And despite the effort to categorize these opinions as partisan in nature, that doesn't apply to, for instance, the seniors of this community who reached out to us and made numerous requests regarding the budget that had nothing to do with politics at all. I'm going to share some of those comments right now. As a senior citizen living on a fixed income in New Hanover County, I implore our county commissioners to resist raising our property taxes at the upcoming budget meeting. Retired senior citizens do not have the resources to afford exorbitant increases in living expenses. There is only so much money at our disposal. And another, I'm a senior citizen, recently lost my husband, and I'm learning that my property taxes are going to be raised by a huge percent. I am now on a fixed income and am outraged by your proposed budget. I don't know how many people who can afford this hike in taxes. There may be some who will lose their homes if the proposed tax hike goes into effect. Please consider we the people on a fixed income and how we will be impacted. The proposed budget is reckless and only considering the people who can afford those rate hikes.
That's a key point. And this concept, this idea of people losing their homes, that's a very real thing. You look at individuals on fixed income, many individuals unfortunately living off nothing more than Social Security. They have no retirement, they have no pension. If their taxes are going to go up by $1,200 or $1,500 a year, there's a strong likelihood that they are going to have to sell their property and go somewhere else. Right? If you're on a true fixed income and you're in a position where you are no longer physically able to work or generate revenue, generate income, what are you supposed to do? You can't go out and just get another job. Maybe you're in a position where you can't work, whether it's a disability or whatever the situation that it might exist. And so, you know, when you hear these comments from, I used to live in Durham and I'd be happy to pay for more taxes in New Hanover County. Great. But you're not everybody. What about the middle class families of New Hanover County that are struggling to deal with the rise in inflation, that have watched their salaries stagnate as everything around them continues to cost more and more every month? What about them? What about the seniors that Dane is reading from this morning? What about their personal finances? Right, it's not one size fits all here in New Hanover County.
And another, the change will result in a 24% increase in my county property tax, approximately $500 more per year. For me and many others, this is more than a modest adjustment. It is a significant financial burden, particularly for those of us on fixed incomes. As a senior citizen, I do not have the flexibility to absorb sudden sharp increases in the cost of living expenses like this. And another, my property valuation more than doubled this year. I'm a senior. How do I pay for property tax now? Your budget seems too far-reaching. Stick to a county, essential county services. Thank you. And another, trying to live within a fixed income as a senior citizen is very frustrating and very scary. Having to save $1,000 per month just to meet my taxes, home insurance, car insurance, wind and hail is a burden already. Raising taxes because somehow my home has increased in value will put a larger burden on me as a citizen of New Hanover County and the city of Wilmington both. Please reconsider your actions and think what this will do to a lot of older citizens who have been living paycheck to paycheck for years. And another, as a senior citizen living on a fixed income and suffering severe health issues, the burden of paying double my current tax will force me to reconsider how I spend my money. If people refuse to pay the tax increase, it is unreasonable to think the county has financial ability to foreclose on a large percentage of homes, thereby crushing the economy and the housing market as a whole. Yet another, my husband and I are senior citizens of New Hanover County and we are on a fixed income. seeing the proposed property tax increase has us very concerned. When we moved to our home 30 years ago, we only paid county taxes, which was very reasonable for the services we received. We were then annexed into the city and our taxes doubled, receiving no benefit from all this increase. Now the tremendous tax increase has us greatly distressed.
I'm going to stop it right there because there's an interesting economic side of this that is not very often discussed, but it was kind of alluded to in one of the letters that Commissioner Scalise read. When you take, specifically looking at, we'll use the example of senior citizens or even just middle class Americans that are on truly a fixed income, and not even necessarily fixed, but on a tight budget, living paycheck to paycheck. Let's say your taxes are going to go up by $1,000 a year, which you think, okay, $1,000 over the course of 12 months, that's only $83 a month, only $83 a month. That's how it's proposed by the left, right? Stephanie Walker told us at the meeting last Thursday, her taxes are only going up by $10 a month, and then that's good for her. So let's take the $1,000 and divide it out by 12 months. That's about $83, almost $84 a month. So now that's 80 some odd dollars a month that individuals will not have to spend at local businesses in which they will be paying sales tax. That will be $83 that individuals don't have to hire services, whether you're talking about getting your air conditioner looked at, maybe you're somebody that has a lawn service come because of your age, you don't have the ability to do that. That's a significant burden, and it has a huge impact on the rest of the economy. Right, if you have to cut things out of your budget, things that you were spending money on, whether that was purchasing things at the store, going out to eat, hiring somebody to care for your lawn, mow your yard, or pest, whatever it might be, that is money that is now being taken out of the local economy and is being siphoned into county government, which does not generate revenue. Does not have an ability to generate revenue outside of taxing its citizens. So not only is it less property, less sales tax revenue that the county or city receives, but it's less money flowing to small businesses throughout our area. Right? There is a major economic impact when people have to cut things out of their budget to pay taxes.
Another, please do not raise our taxes. I'm a senior on limited income. And another, will you consider the revaluation of our properties? Our house is definitely not worth the amount assessed to it. We are senior citizens on a budget trying to stay in our forever home. Please reassess these tax amounts. Thank you. And just an example of an email, and I received many emails following the budget from individuals who said, thank you for passing this budget. I just read through your budget and I commend you for thinking of the taxpayers, especially us senior citizens. Prices have gone up tremendously, making it very hard for people on a fixed income to survive, and I believe you have taken that into consideration in your budget. The point is not that these voices are any more important than the voices that are in this room. They're all important. But the commissioners are charged with a very significant responsibility. And that's to consider all of the various people and priorities in this community and make what we believe is the best and fairest outcome for everybody. There will certainly be disagreement about how that works. For instance, I will note that the schools have been provided yet another year of the most amount of money that the county has ever provided to them. It's my belief, as I have said many times in prior meetings, that the county should not be engaging in line item funding of the school's priorities. In my opinion, we should be taking all of the dollars, which means even more dollars than we already do, that we take care of independently of the schools and provide that to the schools directly for them to decide, because they are elected to decide, what policy preferences are best for the school. And I understand from hearing from the superintendent that he is desirous of doing just that with the pre-K classes, to include the money that is additional monies that we have provided to the schools. I also want to say, especially in light of this bomb threat that we just had, it doesn't matter if it's a judge who makes a decision against you or a county commission who makes a different decision than the one that you prefer. Violence and threats of violence in our community are not welcome. We must learn to agree to disagree in a better way. That is critically important, because at the end of the day, whether you want to believe it or not, every single person up here is doing what they think is the level best for the most number of people in this community. That's what the budget did, in my estimation. And I understand that there is disagreement. I respect that disagreement. I thank you again for coming to tell us about that disagreement. I thank you to the people who wrote to me and presented their disagreement. I need to know those factors. But I also have to make a decision about what I think is best based on the totality of the information provided to me. And some of that must include, as a for instance, the seniors of this community who asked me to be more mindful about how we spend our dollars.
You know, well said by Commissioner Dane Scalise. The reality is the budget is said and done. It's been passed. It is 30.6 cents per $100 of property valuation in New Hanover County, and it will end up meaning that residents of this county will save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a year, thanks to the good financial and good fiscal stewardship showed by three members of the county commission. I made the pledge yesterday. I'll do it again today. You need to email the New Hanover County commissioners. They've got an all commissioners email. You need to email them and thank them for being fiscally responsible. You need to thank them for working hard and putting it on the line to provide relief to the citizens of New Hanover County. This stuff doesn't happen by accident. This stuff doesn't happen for no reason. And we've got to back up our commissioners and tell them and let them know that, hey, we appreciate the work that you're doing. We need to tell them, hey, we appreciate that you went out and fought this battle for us and provided us with hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a year worth of relief. So email them, send them messages on social media, thank them for the work that they did, specifically commissioners, the commission chair and Bill Rivenbark, vice chair Leanne Pierce, and Commissioner Dane Scalise. This stuff doesn't happen by accident. And I appreciate all that they've done over the last couple of months to make this happen. And you and I will be actually reaping the benefits of that coming up here in short time. Well, that's going to do it for a Tuesday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for joining us this morning. I appreciate the Law Group for their continued support. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. We'll continue to watch the ongoing conflict between Israel and Iran. Plus, Congressman David Rauser joins us tomorrow morning as well. That coming up live tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble and X, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts.